Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the ride.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs,
Chefs. Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of me.
Come on,
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Sports City, Chef, 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 The villain is in the house. It's the caller's cookout here on the Sports City Chefs Network. Calling number 929-477-2759 with you for the next 58 minutes, talking all things sports. It's the hero versus the villain, where good always wins, but every good hero needs a villain. I'm the best villain in the world, but I got the best hero in the world, the big boss man, the head honcho himself, TP Timeless. TP, what's going on, my big brother?
I done took off the blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped outside. The kitchen Timeless is alive. The charcoal is all set. NBA opening day is here for all of the remainder of the teams. Believe me, I'm feeling like it's Christmas. There's no snow outside, but the bird months are here. We got everything in front of us. Football tomorrow. I can't say enough about it. How are you feeling on hump day, sir?
I'm doing good, man. These kids are keeping me busy. They won't go to bed. I don't know what the hell to do with them. TP Timeless, please come get your kids. Come get your babies.
Leave them.
When my son wants to stay up and watch the Knicks game with me, you know, and I'm like, dude, you got to go to bed, man. You got school in the morning. And then the other one just doesn't want to go to bed. It's a fight, you know. She don't usually give me a hard time because daddy don't play, but all of a sudden she want to be the one today. But, you know, we here, we in the building. We got a lot cooking, so let's get to it, brother. I mean, I'm watching the Knicks game tonight. The Knicks are down at halftime, 58-54. The Garden's electric. What a great environment. Great, you know, listen, Jaylen Brown coming off of COVID protocol, putting in buckets, putting in work. He looks really good. The Celtics, like you said, they're looking pretty good so far. If they can keep it up, I think they started off really high, I think over 60% shooting, but then they started to cool down. They really can't handle Julius Randle down in the paint, so we'll see how that develops. The Hornets were down by almost 20 points to the Pacers, but they stormed back. Your boy LaMelo Ball putting in work, 28 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists so far. They're up 102-95 going in halfway through the fourth quarter. Bulls up only by 2 against the Pistons, 84-82. Wizards all over the Raptors, 63-40. Cavaliers down to the Grizzlies, 68-59, one of our sleepers from last night on the Crossover Cafe. The Sixers up on the Pelicans by 5, 47-42 without Ben Simmons. Obviously suspended, should not be playing at any point for the Sixers at right now. The Magic are up 25-21 on the Spurs right now. That game just getting underway not so long ago. Games tonight, the Thunder Jazz, Nuggets Sun, the other half of the ESPN game, and the Kings and Trailblazers. TP Timeless, I don't know if you've seen any of the games going on so far today. If you have any thoughts on opening night tonight, as the two teams, the four teams opened last night in the big showcase, but the game's going on tonight right now. I think you're on mute.
I do all the time.
Right now, I'm on the local game watching the Knicks and the Celtics right now. This has actually been pretty good with the Celtics running out to an early lead, and then Julius Randle got hot and took it pretty much personal. And right now, good thing that my boys are on TV, I get to actually see the Thunders go at it. So the Thunder and the Jazz are going to take off in Utah right here in Salt Lake City. So I'll be watching both games as much as possible. Just like you announced the scores, that I've been actually watching a lot of these scores and just happy that the NBA season is here with the collide with the NFL and college football at the same time. And, oh, yes, MLB postseason. So and knowing that this is that rivalry, New York and Boston, so this has been pretty good. Jaylen Brown has almost had 30 points in the first half, and Julius Randle has 20 at the half. I mean, this is electric stuff, man. I must agree.
Yeah, absolutely. If I'm not paying attention to you, forgive me. Obviously, I'm watching my team play. Kemba's first night in the Garden. He's off to a slow start, but a lot of fun. We got to your point. We got the MLB playoffs going on. The Braves are up 3-0 right now on the Dodgers. The Braves are up in that series 2-1. Last I checked, I think the Astros were all over. It's a final. They were all over the Red Sox, scored 9-1. So that series is 3-2, right? TP, the Houston leads the series 3-2, looking to close that out. Right. So Sale did not look good today. He got beat up a little bit. So that was a surprising performance from him. So I'm going to bring in we got Mike Harvey, one of our other cooks, chefs in the building. I'm going to bring him in. Mike, what's going on, brother?
Well, a couple things. First of all, it's now 4-0 Braves. They had three solo home runs, and then just a little bloop hit in the center scored Eddie Rosario, who had a triple earlier in the inning. So it's 4-0 Braves now in the top of the third inning. It's still early in this game.
Thank you.
So that just happened as you were bringing me up. And thank you guys for letting me alongside. NBA season's kicking off, man. So many cool things going on in the sports world. This is, one of those times, those few times a year where almost all the sports are all running at the same time. So, listen, if you're a sports fan, you can't find something to watch or get excited about, then you're not much of a sports fan these days. Thank you, Barry. Thank you, TP, for having me alongside. It's always a pleasure to share space with you guys and chop it up.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for that update. It actually just came through on my. I got my screens and then I got my monitors going, so it's like kind of TP knows my layer, my layout. I got screens all over the place, but TP, I don't know. Definitely give me your opinion on the two baseball games, one going on now, and then the final, the Houston Astros all over the Red Sox tonight.
I'm stunned that the Red Sox got beat so bad after being so successful a couple of times and going back to Houston, basically facing this tough situation. So we'll see how that ends up panning out. I know a lot of the big baseball heads will feel a certain way about what's going down, especially if Houston gets to another postseason. And if they lose, so many people are like kind of like be like, well, that's karma getting back at them. But if they win, how many things they're going to actually go through from years past of what we now know as knowledge of what went down in that World Series. But for them to be able to fight back and find that resolve and win this game soundly in Fenway to basically put up double-digit runs in this situation. So I got to tip my hat for what Houston has been able to do offensively to keep pace with a Red Sox team who's been pretty hot going into this postseason. And looking at the other side of the coin, I mean, Atlanta could have been up 3-0. This could be a situation where they could have swept this series. And the Dodgers fought back to get back into that series to actually save face. The Dodgers do have an interesting offense. Cody Bellinger is one of my favorite players in the game. I can't even lie. He saved them from some catastrophe. And right now they're down a good amount. Hopefully Atlanta can hang on and go back to smooth this thing out in Georgia and try to bring it back there. But I must tell you, it is, some heart-pounding baseball being played at this moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I was shocked to see Sale really get kind of beat around like that. Give the Astros credit, who I hate giving credit. They kind of drive me crazy, but they're putting in business and going into a closeout game in Boston. Mike, I don't know if you saw any of that game. Definitely, I'd love to hear your opinion on the Astros Red Sox and what you. I know you're a Braves fan, but give me a little bit on the Braves Dodgers as well.
Okay, yeah, I might be a Braves fan, man, but I could step back and look at things objectively as well. So, really, quickly,
you're better than me because I wouldn't.
You know, no, man, you know, honestly, there's a couple things. The Red Sox, man, when they first went back to Boston, they put it on them in Game 3, right? Like, I mean, it was
yes,
a significant victory. So it was down 2-1. Houston really kind of had their backs against the walls, down 2-1 on the road. And Houston came back and thumped them two games in a row. They kind of opened the floodgates a little bit in Game 4, in the ninth inning of Game 4. And then they were able to parlay that into a nice win today. You know, you mentioned Chris Sale, but on the other side, the young lefty, Framil Reyes, pitched very well today. So good outing by him. I think he went 8 innings today, gave up 1 run. So that's good pitching for a young guy. You know, mm-hmm. to be able to do that in the postseason. So I kind of have a love-hate relationship with the Astros, you know, all that went on. But Alex Bregman being an LSU guy, I kind of like him. That Jordan Alvarez is pretty cool, like a pretty special young hitter. And, you know, I've really enjoyed seeing Altuve bounce back after a couple of down seasons. And everybody thought, well, maybe he's washed. You know what I mean? Once that whole trash can scandal and everything came out. Jose Altuve had a fantastic season this year, right? So he really bounced back and looked like one of the best second basemen in the game again. So interesting to see with the Astros and to Thomas's point. Like, if they can win now, like, you know, this is they've kind of been, you know, had to overcome it. You know, they've kind of drawn the ire of the rest mm-hmm. of the league, and to see them kind of be able to sort of point that middle finger in the face of that and find a way to win, like, good for them, man. It's, sometimes the pressure or scandal or something like that can really crush a franchise or set them back a little bit, and the Astros have found a way to kind of overcome a lot of that. So really good on them. As far as Braves and Dodgers, man, like, you know, TP once again, spot on. They could have been up 3-0. Bullpen kind of gave one away yesterday. Interesting thing is, you know, last year they didn't play the NLCS in LA. The Braves have not won a game. They're 0 for their last 10. They haven't won a game in L.A. since June of 2018, so it's been over 3 years since the Braves even won a game in Dodger Stadium. So hopefully tonight they can find a way to do that. Another interesting fact about this, if you count the four ALCS games that were played there last year, this is the 100th postseason game played at Dodger Stadium. It now becomes the venue with the second most ever postseason games played within its four gates or four, I guess you can't really say four walls, but it's only behind the original Yankee Stadium. So that's pretty impressive for Dodger Town and for, you know, for that Chavez Ravine and to have hosted that many playoff games. But, no, man, it's, once again, Dodgers better team on paper. I've said that from the beginning of the series. Braves are kind of scrappy, finding a way to sort of get it done. If the Braves can find a way to win today and go up 3-1, you know, some people might say the Dodgers have them right where they want them after what happened last year. But if I'm Atlanta, I at least really like my chances when I can come back on regular rest with Fried, Anderson, and Morton in games 5, 6, and 7 to close out the series, and all I got to do is get one. So we'll see. Long way to go tonight. But, you know, I'd much rather be up 4-0 than down 4-0 at this point. So we move on and watch a little bit more baseball.
Yeah, we'll definitely see what happens. You know, can't count the Dodgers out with that pitching staff and that lineup, especially in the bullpen, too. They're a really good team. So I got Sirius in the building. I'm going to bring him in, calling from the 703, the 614, whatever, I don't know, 5-8, you know, alphabet, to, you know, the count. You know, like 703, you know, whatever. Sirius, what's going on, my brother?
What up, my guy? How we doing, man? Such a pleasure to be with you guys.
I'm good. Let's do it, man. Talk to me. Got some baseball going on tonight. I don't know if you caught any of the games, but definitely want to get your opinion on those.
You know, honestly, man, I was following it on my phone a little bit. But for me, here's the thing with the Astros and the Red Sox, man. I mean, Barry, you and I, as resident Yankee fans, you know, kind of – don't know which way to pull with this particular situation. We hate both teams almost equally. But I will say this, man. If the Houston Astros are able to claw their way, scrap their way, and get themselves back into a World Series in the face of all the adversity that they caused themselves and with the magnifying glass and the extra set of eyes being on them as heavenly as it is, you know, you really have to tip your cap to them. I overheard, I think it was you mentioned something about Jose Altuve having a bounce back season and a bounce back campaign. I hate to say this, but he is slowly but surely arguably turning into one of my favorite players to watch. You know, just for the sheer fact that this dude is Eminem short of 102 pounds. And it's 5 foot negative three, and he doesn't play like it at all. You know, shout out to the little guys out there just balling, just going out there and just, you know, putting your best foot forward. I kind of have a soft spot for Dusty Baker. You know what I'm saying? This is a guy who played and managed all those years in San Fran and, you know, came up short. He came out here to the Metro, managed here with the Washington Nationals, you know, came up short. Nobody else wanted the job. And Houston, amid all the scandal and everything, and he stepped up and managed to get this ball club on the brink of a World Series berth. And to do it in the manner in which they've been doing it this postseason is nothing short of spectacular. So, again, I can't stand the Houston Astros. You've got to tip your cap to them if they're able to close the deal. As far as the Boston Red Sox, man, this is a team, honestly, who, again, scrappy. I mean, both of these teams are complete mirrors of each other, if you ask me. They're a scrappy bunch. They get timely hitting. They get timely pitching at big moments. So, again, they're down 3-2, but once again, you really can't count the Boston Red Sox out. I'd be curious to see, you know, who this into the bump. Should this one go seven? And honestly, I kind of hope it does, just to have both fan bases on the edge of their proverbial seats. And we'll see what happens with that. But as far as Atlanta Braves and the Dodgers series, once again, I'm shocked because I wasn't expecting the Braves to kind of jump out and put it on them in the manner in which they did, being up 2-0 and kind of having the Dodgers somewhat of backdoor their way into a game 3 win in the manner in which it did. You know, again, big-time players do big-time things in big-time moments, so you really have to tip your cap to them. My wife actually is a Braves fan, so she was up kind of, you know, saying a couple things, and, you know, you got to, you know, keep your wife happy, so it is what it is. But ultimately, this L.A. Dodgers team, man, again, you don't want to let them hang around. And, again, I don't have to tell Matt about that. You know, he's very much aware, and so the Braves are very much aware of the pedigree and the power and what that other side of the ledger has to bring to the table. So if you were able to kind of snuff out this mini run or snuff out any type of hope of a comeback, tonight is a must-win, if you ask me. If the L.A. Dodgers – find a way to knock this up and, you know, kind of make it a best out of three, I think that kind of spells trouble, if you ask me. I think the Dodgers honestly you can grow momentum back, and, you know, if you're a Braves fan, you get it to a one game situation, you know, where anything can happen. You can afford to have a bad game in game 5 if you go up 3-1. You really can't, you really don't want to give them any type of life. So with that being said, you know, baseball is great to sit back and watch, but it's going to be crazy to see how this all comes down in a couple hours.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you made some nice points, but when you said Matt, I mean, it's Mike, dumbass. Like, come on, like, stop calling him Matt. I'm just messing with you. But listen,
that's funny. I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming.
He does it on purpose. I know he does it to be annoying. It's so funny when he does it, though. But no, Sirius makes a great point, though. Listen, the Dodgers are dangerous, and if the Braves have the chance, they got to put them away. They can't let them off the mat and let them back in the game, especially today or in the series. But I mean, for me, the Astros, the Red Sox, I can't stand both teams. I really can't stand the Astros because Altuve is the face of that whole scandal. So, I mean, yeah, he is a really good player and, you know, having a bounce back year. You know, the injuries kind of got him, dogged him a little bit last year. But I can't stand the guy just as a fan because, you know, he's just the face of the team. He's, you know, I respect him. I know he can play. I know he's one of the better players in the league. But, I, you know, he's, you know, as a fan, he annoys me. But seriously.
Hey, Barry.
Yes, go ahead, Mike.
Barry, real quick. To your point about how dangerous these Dodgers are, last year, even when the Braves were up 3-1, I wasn't expecting them to win. I was hoping they would, but I just kept waiting for the Dodgers to come all the way back. And, of course, they did. So, I mean, obviously, as a Braves fan, I agree this is a must-win, and we'll see what happens after that. But this is just a dangerous team to be playing. And it's the only team left of the four that are there that – most people were predicting would be here, right? The Dodgers are the only one. People gave outside shots to some of these other teams, but once the season got going, there were people picking everybody but the Braves in the National League for a lot of the year, and people didn't really expect Houston and Boston to both be at this point late in the season, so that's kind of what's made this postseason fun.
Yeah, I mean, I said it, and I went on the Baseball Buffet with Dave and Nate. Love listening to those guys. I think TP guest spotted with them and, you know, really went at it with Dave, which is fun. But, I mean, I said the Red Sox are a better team than people were giving them credit for. I didn't think they'd be this good, like, to get to the ALCS, I mean. But I always thought they were, you know, if things broke their way, they could be a really dangerous, scrappy team. And Alex Cora is the difference. It shows what a difference the manager made because they were abominable last year. He comes in and it's just a night and day. So shout out to Alex Cora and what he's able to do with that Red Sox team. You know, they can't count them out yet, even though they're down and they got beat up today. You can't count them out. But call number 929-477-2759. I definitely want to get into some stuff. Let's get into the games last night. Bucks Nets. Lakers, Warriors open up the season. We kind of talked about the Bucks and Nets a little bit on the show last night, so I'll save that a little bit. I want to talk about the late game that we started to kind of hit on a little bit, but then, you know, we are off the air. TP, I'll come to you first. I mean, you know, the Lakers got down by the Warriors 121-114. You know, listen, the headline is, you know, Steph Curry didn't have a really good game. And Russell Westbrook didn't have a good game. I mean, the Lakers haven't won since that trade in the preseason or the regular season so far. You know, and it's too early to panic, but it's a lot of what we've seen. We're not liking what we're seeing so far. How long, TP, do you think it's going to take for this Lakers team to kind of figure it out, how to put these pieces together?
I'm not worried about how long it takes. Of course, it's a fill-out presence, but the one thing about this that I don't give the Lakers any ground on is that they've been playing this same Warrior team all preseason. So they knew what to expect. So I get it when people are talking like, oh, it's going to take this out of the third. They've seen it. For the past four games, the Lakers haven't won any game in the preseason. And this is one thing I put on Vogel to get this chemistry thing figured out as best as possible. I know Russell had a terrible night, and it's no longer a situation where people could save Russ because he's lauded with stars around him. There's too much help around him for him to have this bad of a performance while they're in Los Angeles. So, of course, it's going to take time for them to figure each other out, get the chemistry going. But this is pretty much – I feel like this is inexcusable for him to have that type of lead early and then lose it late and not be able to come back and still be succumbed to not being able to defend the three ball. This is what knocked them out last year up against Phoenix. Phoenix had shot the ball well, and they got them out of there. This is the same type of effort that made LeBron leave that bench 5 minutes on the clock and walk toward the locker room. If they can't get this figured out within, I say, by the middle of December, we have issues. But right now, This is game one. It's all hype. A lot of people want to see the Lakers go down because they're probably the best constructed team in the league, and that has everybody's eyebrows raised. But, again, I got to tip my hat to Golden State because I didn't think Golden State, especially while they're wounded without Klay Thompson, I feel like they'll be much stronger with Klay there. We can't forget about what Golden State possesses in the Western Conference. People have to give Golden State more credit than what they have. Don't forget they are still within their legacy of what they've done in the 2010 decade. So, I mean, they still have a majority of those pieces there. You still have to contend with them and deal with that offense at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, I think we gave them credit. I think you did too last night. You said the Warriors were going to be a solid team. You're right. Without Klay and without Wiseman, they still played a really solid game, even though Curry didn't have a good game. I think, you know, you look at the line, I mean, Poole really played pretty well last night. I was really surprised with his effort. Iguodala coming off the bench as well. So, you know, and Lee. So they got some nice pieces down there to when guys come back. You know, I'll say my opinion for the Lakers. I want to get your guys' opinion. Sirius, I'll come to you. What did you see? If you watched, I'm pretty sure you watched the game. What did you see from the Lakers last night? And no, it's early, but I mean, it's one game that everybody saw. What did you see in LA? Can they get this thing going?
You know, honestly, to answer the question, I saw just a bunch of guys that unfortunately haven't played together enough yet. I understand this is, you know, they played together during the preseason and they got together, you know, during the offseason and, you know, at the Hoop It Up or whatever case may be. And but, I mean, honestly, I think it's going to take a little bit of time for them to get it right, you know. I think given about a month or so, it wouldn't shock me if this team was hovering around or right below 500, you know, as, you know, we get into about a month of the season and that's going to dominate, you know, headlines and talk shows and even here on the network, or, you know, are the Lakers in trouble or, you know, this kind of third. Ultimately, this is a team who we mentioned this yesterday, who may end up, you know, coasting a little bit, figuring some stuff out, trying to stay healthy, you know, hover around the, you know, 2-4, you know, mark, you know, and then once playoff time, kicking in the gear. Here's the thing that we need to understand, and I think all of us sitting here understand this. When you assemble a roster of this magnitude, there's going to have to be a lot of buy-in, there's going to have to be a lot of give and take. There's going to have to be a lot of understanding of roles and who does what and who is going to end up doing what. The rotation, I'm not even sure if the rotation is solidified yet. How many minutes is this guy playing? Who's playing with whom? Who's getting shots where? So there's a lot that has to go into this L.A. Lakers team as opposed to what Golden State brings to the table, a team that for the most part, return the majority of this, you know, their team from last year. You bring back our Andre Iguodala, who has played here before, who has already, you know, probably didn't even sell his house in the Bay Area. So he just checked back into where he used to live and, you know, got back to what he did when he was a member of this team several years ago. You know, Poole and these guys, you know, they were on this team last year. They played here. They understand their role. So even though Steph didn't have a good shooting game, these guys know their role and played it to perfection. There is a system in place that Steve Kerr preaches and practices, and they bring guys in to fit that particular system. The LA Lakers are not currently constructed that way. They have a bunch of stars and former stars coming together to then figure it out as they go. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's going to take them a little bit of time to get right. I think they will eventually get themselves to a position where, you know, we expect them to be, you know, in the Western Conference, you know, finals or the Western Conference, you know, playoffs or whatever case may be. But it's going to take some time.
Yeah, I think it is going to take time, and I agree with you with the rotations. I think they're still trying to figure it out. Mike, I'd love to get your Laker opinion as this is your team, what you saw last night. I want to preface, I'm not worried about it. I just want to call it out and call it what it is because it was opening night, and they just didn't play. It just didn't look good. I mean, LeBron had a really good game. AD, they had a good game. But everybody else kind of, I think, struggled. So I would love to get your take on it.
So Sirius just said something important right there in that the Warriors right now are the more cohesive unit, right? Like, and so that makes a difference first night of the year. You know your roles and you know what that team is doing. As far as the rotation, and this is where this coaching staff is going to be tested and how this figures out and how well these players really come together, because this team is not going, this Lakers team, is they're going to have a rotation. They're going to kind of have an idea of what they want it to look like, but it's going to be ever-evolving because it's going to, that roster is older. So you're going to have guys rotating in and out of spots and whatever. So it's going to be a revolving door at times throughout this year. And so being able to find that and balance it out is going to be key. And, I mean, truth be told, true basketball instincts in that tend to win out more, you know, when you're still trying to get used to things. So that's why Rondo looked a little better than Westbrook last night. At times, I really liked what I saw out of LeBron. I liked what I saw out of Anthony Davis. I thought those two guys were looked good for a first game of the season. Usually, if Westbrook has a bad game like this, it usually comes back with something that kind of wows people. It's a long season, so I don't want to overreact to one game and one performance right now. I think that it's interesting that the other thing that sticks out to me is four out of the five teams that were, you know, in the top eight. Now, they ended up losing in the playing game, so didn't make the first round. But four of the top eight teams in the Western Conference were in this one division last year. So that tells you everything you need to know about where those guys are going to rank in the Western Conference. Any of those four teams can win the division, with the exception of maybe the Clippers this year with Kawhi being out for a chunk of time or whatever. They may not be. But those other three teams can win that division, especially if you get Klay back later on. The Golden State Warriors are absolutely right now Western Conference contenders, and you have to throw them at the top of that pile as far as teams that really have a legitimate shot to come out of the Western Conference. So it's not like they lost to a good team. It's disappointing not to be able to get the win, but it is a lot of season left and a lot of things still to sort of be figured out. And I think that this Lakers franchise should be able to, but once again, it's a big indictment on Vogel, on LeBron, and on this franchise if it's something that they can't get together. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I thought it would take probably up until like Christmas Day for the Lakers to figure it out. I think it's going to take a little bit longer. We're talking probably February-ish for them to figure it out. I think they'll be a 500 team before that, like above 500, but then they'll really start to hit their stride. I'm so glad Russell Westbrook had a really bad game, because guaranteed this will not happen again. You will not see a minus 23 from Westbrook. I've never seen him play that bad. You won't see it again. I think they have to figure out how to coexist LeBron and Westbrook on the court, because Westbrook is a point guard, needs the ball in his hands. LeBron is the point guard, probably one of the best, arguably, point guards in the league, and he could control the offense because his IQ is off the charts. So it's going to be interesting. If LeBron can get this done and get a championship, this will be probably one of the most difficult jobs for him to get a championship because of the pieces that he has around him. Because Westbrook, you can't play him off the ball. He's not a spot-up shooter. You know, Carmelo's not a shooter. So it's going to be interesting how Vogel earns his salary this year and how he figures out who to put where and what five to go with. I mean, Rondo and Westbrook on the court together is a no-no. You can't have two guys that can't shoot. Like, it doesn't make any sense. So that's something that, okay, you tried it, it didn't work, let's move on from that rotation, let's not do it. I mean, Rondo, you know, played a plus one, and Westbrook, like I said, minus 23. But, I mean, having those guys on the court together, especially two guys that are point guards that need the ball in their hands, come on, that's just not smart. So I don't know what Vogel was doing there. He has to fix his rotations. I think once he does that and LeBron starts to get people settled into their roles, it's going to be lights out. But like TB said, the Warriors are a good team. They're only going to get better. It was a good game for them to show, like, hey, don't forget about us. We still that team. Curry led the league in scoring last year. He'll have help on the way. So, you know, let's give them their respect. So, it was a good game for the Warriors. I think it's a good test for the Lakers to see what they need to kind of fix, what they need to do. And it's like you said, there's 81 more games to go. We got a lot of basketball to play. So it's not like football where you lose that one game, Giants, and, you know, the season's over. You got 82 games in a season. So a lot of basketball to be played. I don't know if anybody wanted to let's get into the early game from yesterday, the Nets and the Bucks. The Bucks really came out yesterday, put a hurting on the Nets. The Nets kind of got close, but really the Bucks were in control of this game most of the way, winning 107 to 104. Mike, we didn't hear from you last night, so I'll definitely come to you first. Not sure if you caught that game last night. The Bucks getting their rings last night from their championship and then put a hurting on the Nets. What'd you see?
It's always interesting to see what a team does or how they do on ring night. Sometimes those emotions and finally realizing that. But, you know, to me, the Bucks came out and, you know, good on them for getting their rings, but they played like a defending champ who want to do it again. It's a long season. Who knows, you know, if they'll be able to be in that conversation late in the year. But they came out and played well against a good basketball team. I mean, so they don't have Kyrie and whatever, but that's a team that's also still trying to figure things out. But they didn't get caught up in the emotions like a lot of young teams do. They celebrated and still, went out and between the whistles, took care of business and came out ahead and got a home win on ring night. So good for them. I think that last night was more just a statement for the Bucks to say, yeah, we're ready to go this year. Bring it. See if you can come get us. So to me, that's the bigger statement of the night than what I saw from the Nets. Obviously, James Harden's volume is what it is. He didn't have a great shooting night, but he still stuffed the stat sheet. So there are times this year that, you know, he's going to put up some huge games. We know what KD brings to the table and what they have on that team. So, you know, we know that the Nets are going to be contenders or maybe look like the favorites going into the playoffs. You know, obviously one game's not going to change any opinions as far as those things go. But good on the Bucks for pulling it out last night and just playing well. And not getting swept up in those emotions. That's my takeaway from last night.
Yeah, absolutely. Sirius, I'd love to get your opinion real quick on the game last night, Bucks Nets.
You know, honestly, for me, that game kind of, you know, unfolded in the manner in which I thought it would. You know, the Milwaukee Bucks are the class of the NBA right now, and they show no signs of slowing down and relinquishing that title. I did want to bring attention to a couple of things. I liked what I saw from Patty Mills. Now, we've all seen him playing San Antonio. We've all seen Olympic Patty Mills. And if they're going to get that type of a production from him, I think it adds a different element that was missed from their bench last year. And if and when Kyrie comes back, brings a whole different dynamic to the team should they play them two together. Keep in mind, you know, Kyrie can play without the basketball. He can play off the ball. You know, you can slide James Harden and, you know, you can play a three-guard set if you need to. And crunch time, and Patty Mills is a guy who can get and make his own shot. He's also a tremendous free throw shooter. So I like what I saw from Patty Mills. Yesterday, it made me cringe a little bit seeing LaMarcus Aldridge back out there. We all understand his pedigree and what he brings to the table. But, you know, it made me cringe but also smile that he overcame, you know, his health situation, his health scare, and is able to do the thing that he loves once again. But, again, this is much ado about nothing. Again, it's game one of 82. But the Milwaukee Bucks definitely look like they're the king of the class, and they was missing some stars. I mean, Portis wasn't playing, DiVincenzo wasn't playing, and so
once they get their whole assortment of guys back, they're going to even be a tougher out in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, absolutely. TP Timeless, my brother, I'd love to get your opinion on the Bucks-Nets game real quick last night.
You all may say that there is nothing to judge by for that first game. I do, and here's what I'm going to say. If they can't get Kyrie back in the door, that's one thing. But two, Brooklyn can no longer hide behind the mantra of them not being able to play defense. KD looked physically unable to deal with anything defensively. Joe Harris, I am not buying it from the output that you put in the offseason. In the postseason, to go into the offseason knowing that you had to work on it and you're still up to the antics not knocking down shots. I'm not buying this. They need another gun. Patty Mills came in here and helped them. But for them to lose by that amount on a team that knocked them out and they have a healthy James Harden, I hate to say this, as strong as a scorer that KD is, as much craftiness that Harden possesses, they actually look like the older players on the floor, being Kevin Durant and James Harden. Of course, I feel like they'll be a top two, top three, or top four team in the East, but I don't feel like they'll get out the East. I don't think they're a threat to get to the finals. And I'm saying this early now. I know that they'll play some great ball. You'll see some games where you'll see both of these guys explode between Harden and Durant. Depending on if Kyrie could come back and help be another gun in this roster, I just don't get it. They struggle at the power forward position. Nobody can stop Giannis. I feel like this is Giannis's Eastern Conference to lose. If they remain healthy, I feel like the Bucks are tough to stop right now in the Eastern Conference. I'm saying this now. The way that it looked, I feel like the Bucks are going to get stronger. They're playing like that without Dante DiVincenzo, and Dante's a defensive juggernaut that actually can shoot and help out in other areas, and they look crisp across the board. Budenholzer, I don't know how you put this together, but I got to tip my hat for the output that you put together in that postseason run and to come out the gate and not play any games with a Brooklyn Nets team that knew that they were going up against a champion. I get it. I understand that people love Kevin Durant and company, but it was situations on the defensive side of the ball where they were getting pummeled, whether they were in the paint or watching balls fly over their head and watching them shoot the three ball dynamic enough to get them out of there. They lost by 20-plus out the gate. That's a bad loss. Like, I get it. The Lakers are playing the Warriors. The Warriors have a legacy, and they have scoring prowess. I got to tip my hat a lot to Steve Kerr, but this is a bad loss. I don't know how Steve Nash turns this around or gets that coaching staff to help him out, but this is an uphill battle, at least to take up with the tougher team in the Eastern Conference. I feel like they'll be a top two, top three, no less than four. I don't think they'll fall lower than four, but again, I do not think that they represent the Eastern Conference in this NBA Finals when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up a valid point, and it is worth noting. The elephant in the room, Kyrie's not there. And, you know, I expect him back at some point this season. I expect him to get vaccinated. I think, you know, he's just setting it up so that he can get vaccinated. Like, oh, I had to do it, whatever. But until he's out there, yeah, they need him. I agree with Sirius. I liked what I saw from Patty Mills, but I don't know if they don't get at full strength in Brooklyn, I don't know if they can contend with this Bucks team, just because Giannis is a two-time MVP and it looked like he's getting better. Like, that's scary to me. Like, he looks like he's confident. The pressure is off him. He looks like a different player. The jump shot's there. Like, he looks – I mean, it's scary how much better he could possibly be after being a two-time MVP, like I said. So, you know, the whole crew, you know, DiVincenzo, everybody's settled into a role. I think, like, Brooke Lopez looks settled. Middleton, like, having a great playoff run and getting into the Olympics looks like a – like, everybody on this Bucks team, the pressure is off. It's like they're playing with house money. They're a scary team defending champions. We got to give them their respect. I don't know if anybody has anything to add, but I definitely want to, you know, get on to some NFL news. Anybody?
Can I give you an update real quick before we go on?
Go ahead. Go for it, brother.
Sacrifice fly by Adam Duvall in the top of the fifth. It is now 5-0 Atlanta over the Dodgers. Dodgers have no runs or hits right now in the slowness. All right, it's 5-0 Braves, top of the fifth.
Thank you.
Rosario,
ATL,
by the
shout
way,
out.
Is 3 for 3 and a double shy of a cycle.
Absolutely. ATL, shouty. Just so you guys know, the Knicks are up in their game over the Boston Celtics, 100-92, and in case you guys are wondering. It's orange and blue skies over here. You know I'm wearing my Knicks shirt, so TP knows I'm over here excited. It's hard to do the show and not have the sound on because I know the garden's rocking. But we got 15 minutes left in the caller's cookout. Call in number 929-477-2759. Sirius brought it to my attention. The news has been circulating. Let the dollars circulate and all that. Deshaun Watson could be traded to the Dolphins as soon as this week. That's being reported by John McClain out of the Houston Chronicle, saying if a deal doesn't get done this week, the hope is that a deal will get done by the November 2nd trade deadline. You know, obviously Watson hasn't been playing all year because his trade demands and then the assault cases that are pending, 22 in total. Not really hearing much about that. If anybody has any news on that, I'd love to hear it. But yeah, the Dolphins look like they are might be looking to move on from Tua Tagovailoa. You know, actually came back after that rib injury, had a solid game against Jacksonville. You know, but you know, if he's out, he's out. The third team might get involved, the Washington football team. That might be where Tua lands, according to Sirius, who said that might be the third team involved. But I'll come to you, Sirius, since you brought it to our attention in our chat. I'm sure the barbershop had that an hour before you broke the news, because the barbershop is always on it. Give me your opinion on what's going on in Houston with Deshaun Watson.
You know, honestly, it comes down to this. You know, we've all been sitting here speculating for the better part of almost a calendar year what was going to go on with the Deshaun Watson thing. I saw the tweet that Miami is looking to make a decision and move. Now, since that tweet came out, I did, you know, kind of see something that said Washington may not be involved with the deal that would potentially send Tua Tagovailoa to the Washington football team. So I think another team's going to have to get involved with it. But, again, the writing's on the wall, man. Like, honestly, the Houston Texans botched this more ways from Sunday, if you will. This guy should have been out of the building, off the roster, you know, and dealt with a long time ago when it became very apparent that he wasn't going to be a contributor to your efforts in 2021. It became very, very, very apparent that he wasn't going to not show up when, you know, whole offseason he talked about not showing up. He ended up showing up. But, you know, you deactivated him, left him on your roster, you know, put him in street clothes and just became a dog and pony show, if you will. He's just there to collect his check at this point. So the Houston Texans messed this all the way up. You could have unloaded him and got something for him. It was very clear that, once again, you guys wasn't going to win this year. You wasn't going to do anything this year. So get draft picks for him, whatever it could be. This is the NFL's version of the Ben Simmons situation, if you ask me. So I think another team's going to have to get involved. I said it in a chat offline. I kind of wish he would just stay quiet and stay chill until next offseason when, you know, Pittsburgh has a lot of money to throw at him and we can go get this guy and send Ben Roethlisberger into retirement. But with that being said, I still think something is done. I just don't know which other team at this moment is going to come in the deal and make the numbers make sense. So it'd be interesting to see who it is, but I don't think it's going to be Washington at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was Miami that had the inside track all along to get Watson, so we'll see how that goes. Mr. Timeless, TP, my brother, let me know, what do you think about Deshaun Watson possibly finally being on the move after his trade demands in the offseason?
Houston is terrible for that, to wait this long to let this happen while your team is terrible. And you get one win and you're going to mix up a whole bunch of pieces, which is going to end up looking like you're going to end up with picks instead of a quarterback to figure out your dismay that you have at the quarterback position. This is what misery loves company is all about. And people need to learn that they need to get over their ways. If they're not comfortable with the way that you're managing the situation, you got rid of one of his best targets in DeAndre Hopkins, get rid of the biggest name in that Texan history in J.J. Watt and expect him to like what you guys are up to. And then you sit him there to watch you guys lose, and then he's going to have to try and figure out a playbook in like 3 to 4 weeks if he moves. That's horrible. And this is what how nasty people could be in the world. He has to try to make a living at the end of the day, and, of course, the contract situation, however that may go down, may it be. But I feel like Deshaun Watson should definitely been treated a different situation while he was trying to head out of that door. Again, if it's that three-team carousel, I wish the best for the football team, because if Tua goes there, Tua has not looked good, especially in that game that he played out in London. I'm not impressed, though, and no more. As much as I try to save face for him, there's not too much that I can say. I don't know where that feedback is coming from, but I lost my train of thought. But I seen him in, you know, London. He didn't look that good out there up against the Falcons, if I'm not mistaken, that game that they just had this past Sunday. And him going to Washington, he's going to have to figure out this playbook and a team that's struggling to put together wins in the NFC East. And I don't know how many wins the football team can produce throughout the season, how the offense is not clicking. The defense isn't themselves from a year past, them losing Ryan Kerrigan as well. We've seen a stronger front seven last year. I don't see that this year. These two quarterbacks, they're going to have to play with the chip on their shoulder and look toward next season. I don't think they really get too much done within this season. That's the one thing that I feel bad about for both of them, being Tua and Deshaun. I just want to see Deshaun play because he's too good of a quarterback to be sitting third or fourth string or sitting at home not playing because, you know, some big wigs that don't want to see him do well within his life or his career.
Yeah, you know, I agree. You know, Houston, even though they're going to get it right and get him out of town, they're figuring out a way to screw this up and just make a bad situation worse. I don't know what took them so long. You had him – He pulled the Marshawn Lynch, right? I'm just here so I don't get fined, and then you still let him stay here. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Mike, I'd love to get your opinion on the Deshaun Watson situation that's coming up, possibly being traded as soon as this week out of Houston finally.
First of all, John McClain's always been pretty knowledgeable and is pretty responsible about anything he reports. I've seen some of his work for the last couple of decades. He was prevalent amongst Nashville people too when the Titans first started there before Houston got their team back, but still kind of stayed involved there. And so John McClain, in most situations I've ever seen him involved, he's a decent, entertaining dude and a good writer. So shout out to him. I just thought we should throw that out there. But the Deshaun Watson deal, man, I thought Houston had it right when they signed him. They gave him the big contract. You know, obviously everything that happened after that led to him wanting to be sent out because of moves that franchise made. I don't blame him at all for that. I do think that these other proceedings that we don't know have caused a lot of the hesitation as well. You know, to Sirius's point, I kind of wanted to see my franchise, you know, the Saints have an opportunity to go after him because, like Tom said, he's too good a talent not to be playing and not to be out there. I will say that with whatever this quarterback class is coming up and with what it looks like we got for at least another year or so, I think that there are a lot of franchises, though, that as unimpressive as he might have seemed at times, there are a lot of franchises that it wouldn't be a bad idea if you're not set at the quarterback position to throw a dart at Tua and see if it pans out or if he could be your guy or give him a chance to see how things go. Listen, we've saw some bad backup quarterbacks playing, and it's still there's not that many great franchise quarterbacks in football right now. So I'm not ready to say that Tua can't be a legitimate franchise quarterback or a winning quarterback or a starting quarterback on a winning or successful team. It does look a little doubtful right now, but Houston or Washington and a few other teams that I could think of, could do worse than to at least bring Tua in for a while and see how he develops in your system.
Yeah, I agree, because I'm not really impressed with the class this year coming into the draft. I think Cole he's a solid quarterback. I don't know. There's no guy that really screams out to me first round pick. I don't know if you guys had any opinion like who could be in the draft, but Tua might be a guy that, you know, maybe you can kind of get him and try to fix him a la Sam Darnold. You know, I disagree with TP. I think he actually had a pretty okay game out there in London. I think for his first game back, you know, what was the stat line? I think he was 329 yards passing, two touchdowns and an intercept. I think he played pretty well, to be honest with you. But to your point, I think he's kind of been so up and down. I think maybe Miami just wants to move on and get a guy that's really a proven commodity in Deshaun Watson. He's a guy that, you know, a lot, if you got question marks like the Giants, that quarterback, maybe that's a guy you would want to get your hands on. So we'll see how that all unfolds over the next week or so out in Houston. But coming down on time, really quick news to keep it with the Texans. They're gonna release, or they already released Marcellus, the defensive end, and he's going to the Packers. He's gonna sign with the Packers. I mean, you just let him go for peanut. I mean, like, you could have traded him to the Packers and maybe got a pick out of it. You just release him. I'm like, it's like I don't know. I think they get fortune cookies and open it up, and that's how they're running their franchise out there. Like, they're just, you know. Every day is a sunshiny day, like, and that's how they're going to run. I don't know what they're doing out in Houston, but, you know, that's just news that's coming through, so whatever. I don't know if anybody has anything else to add as we get out of here on the caller's cookout. If not, we could just start going around, pass the mic, get a close out, and we can call it a day.
We close out, I'm just looking at the tackle or Tua situation. He was 32 for 47. He had the pick. They even brought Jacoby Brissett to come in here to throw a pass for him. The running game wasn't working, and they lost to the Jaguars for their first win of the season, in which his leading receiver was Gesicki, and he barely found Gesicki, because I have Gesicki fantasy. If you watch the entirety of the game, you would have seen what was happening to Tua throughout the duration of the game. I watched that game from start to finish while being in the brunch at the same time. In the words or in the sounds of Kanye voice, I ain't lying. As we proceed.
It wasn't terrible. I saw it was funny. Right, when you said.
Hey, you disagreed. Disagreed. You disagreed. You want to cook? I can cook, bro.
No, listen, I don't have to agree with you. I'm a villain. You're the hero. Like, what are we supposed to be doing here? Here's
who
the deal.
Won?
All I'm gonna say is I tend to recall a certain argument that took place last year when Tua got thrown into a game.
I'm gonna turn your mic off.
All I'm gonna say is that
Ryan Fitzpatrick. Are we serious? It took weeks to repair our relationship, and it's still not repaired. I really don't like you. So
is that I was wrong. That's all I'm gonna say.
But seriously, I mean, it was funny because when we were on the brunch with TP Tyler's on Sundays, right? You had just said, you know, you don't know what was up with Tua. Something's off. He's inconsistent. Blah, blah, blah. And then he leads them right down the field for a touchdown drive, which was funny to me. But, I mean, listen, to eat apples and oranges, I thought he for his first game back, I thought he played one of his better games. They lost, clearly. So, and the Dolphins look like they're going to move on. So, at the end of the day, that doesn't lie. So, we'll see how that turns out. But, Mike, give me a quick closeout as we close up the cookout, and I want to watch the rest of this Knicks game because the Garden is rocking right now.
2-2, bottom of the fifth, and still 5-0. Dodgers have ducks on the pond, as they say. Much love to Sirius and Villain and Timeless. Without Timeless wouldn't be here, man. I always appreciate the platform and being able to cook with you guys. Shout out to Sports City Chefs. You guys are here all about the merchandise there. Check out us, the Barbershop on Clubhouse. They can interact with a lot of us. Good conversations about sports and culture and lots of other things, even some uncomfortable conversations and things that life situations that people probably want to, whether they want to or not, should talk about, at least hear about and gain perspective on. So lots of good things going in at the Barbershop. We're almost to 3,000 members. We're going to have a big giveaway there. So follow us at the Barbershop on Clubhouse and Sports City Chefs. Check us out. Got merchandise. Got clips up. Check out everything that we do and talk to you guys soon.
All right. Thank you, Mike. We love you, man. Clubhouse, man. You guys go do a great job over at the Barbershop on the Clubhouse. So, you know, definitely give them a listen. Malik's dad, give me a closeout as we get out of here.
You know, all I'm going to say is, you know, it's your boy Sears repping that 401, 2 and 7 or 3. You know, being a father, I'm blessed with a good memory, you know. And it was on a Wednesday episode, actually, last year, about the same time. You know, had that discussion, you know. So with that being said, definitely check us out, www.sportscitychefs.com. You can check out the blog. You can go back and listen to, you know, previous shows. So go back and listen to it, you know, it was kind of fun, you know. Definitely check us out, the blogs, YouTube, Facebook. We're on all social media platforms, like my man said. Check us out on Clubhouse or the Barbershop if you like the content that you hear here on a regular basis. Definitely check us out over there. A lot of the same going on, times a million. We have an instant competition today. TP and I was over there cutting all the way up, so definitely enjoyed that. Definitely check us out on the website. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to get out the way. You know what? I don't even have to say nothing. Barry knows I'm right. With that beef, y'all be good. I'll catch you with you guys on the next one.
Oh man, this guy's got jokes. I love Malik though. I really do. Sirius, listen. Sirius has a good episode. Finger Foods on YouTube. Go check that out. Hit the subscribe like button if you like what you hear on there. But Sirius knows. Like, I mean, if you're gonna win an argument with Ryan Fitzpatrick, that's not an argument. Give me a break, dude. TP Timeless. You know what to do. I could say, listen, get to the site. This is the blogs, the interviews, all that. I'm posting. We're all posting every day. You know what to do. TP, get us out of here. Another great edition of the Cookout.
So let me do this the best way that I can, right? First and foremost, don't let Barry try to fool you guys with him trying to disagree with me, because I'm trying to do this with him with kryptonite in his hands, and I'm still going to take care of y'all. Don't worry about that, right? Second off, in the barbershop, I will be taken care of by Sirius, because Sirius actually came to the barbershop to try to call me out and say that his Rockets were going to take care of the Timberwolves. If you go look at the scoreboard, Sirius will be taking care of me soon. Check us out on Clubhouse with the Barbershop. We got merchandise there. SportsCityChef.com, the baby of ours. Check us out. The Jordan Foundation doing everything that they can, from T-shirts to hoodies to mugs to masks to hats to blogs to interviews to all of us with our personal bios and everything that you get and more here with your favorite cooks that talk to sports the most. Cook up the best food for thought. Hopefully all of y'all can do these dishes. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Ow.
Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City Chefs, Chefs.
Connecticut.